This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Fauci's warning. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, Wednesday, May 13. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The nation's top infectious disease expert says serious risks from the coronavirus could continue into the next school year if states aren't careful about reopenings.
Crushing news for 500,000 college kids in California. The state university system will not offer in-person classes this fall.
House Democrats have unveiled a $3 trillion proposal designed to provide more coronavirus relief. It includes money for state and local budgets.
And employers are anxious to use various screenings to keep employees safe as they return to the office, but will they work?
We're seeing employers all across the United States rush to adopt all kinds of new employee health tracking technologies. All of these things are well-meaning, but there's very little evidence to suggest they're actually going to make workplaces safer.
Natasha Singer at the New York Times explains why things like thermal cameras may not be much help as workspaces reopen. The warnings continue from Trump administration health officials who are emphasizing the need for caution and widespread testing as states ease coronavirus lockdowns. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, told a Senate hearing yesterday that serious risks would continue into the fall as schools looked to reopen. He said there's no doubt that when you pull back on mitigation, you will see some cases reappear.
I think that possibility does exist. However, and the reason I say that is that when you talk about, will this virus just disappear? And as I've said publicly many times, that is just not going to happen.
The testimony came as most states began tentative reopenings after weeks of closure that have decimated the economy. For example, retailers in Ohio were permitted to reopen yesterday with restrictions, while many non-essential Wisconsin businesses were allowed to reopen this week with up to 5 customers at a time. National parks and recreation areas were also gradually reopening ahead of the summer months. Talks of another round of coronavirus relief may have gone to the next level. House Democrats have proposed a roughly $3 trillion bill that would almost double what Congress has allocated so far. The measure includes more than $1 trillion for states and local governments, including funding for education and public safety. The Democrats' bill would also send another round of direct checks to Americans. This time, it would deliver $1,200 for individuals, $2,400 for married couples, and $1,200 for each dependent, up to a maximum of 3. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
There are those who said, let's just pause. But the families who are suffering know that hunger doesn't take a pause, the rent doesn't take a pause, the bills don't take a pause, the hardship of losing a job or tragically losing a loved one doesn't take a pause.
Top Senate Republicans, meanwhile, were quick to dismiss the legislation's prospects in that chamber, denouncing the bill as an empty and unrealistic publicity stunt. The House is expected to return to Washington to vote on the bill Friday. Boy, big blow for college kids. All 23 campuses of the California State University system have canceled in-person classes for the fall, with all instruction online. Also, Los Angeles County says its stay-at-home order is likely to be extended by 3 months. Elsewhere, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp has ordered bars, nightclubs, and live concert venues to remain closed through the end of May. But he says the state would further relax limits for restaurants.
Moving forward, we will allow 10 patrons per 300 square feet of public space in restaurants and dining rooms, and increase the party size per table from 6 to 10 people.
In New York, construction, manufacturing, and outdoor recreational facilities may be able to reopen in some upstate regions as early as Friday. In New York City, though, Broadway theaters will remain closed until at least early September. New Jersey officials say that state is seeking to hire between 1,000 and 5,000 people to build up a workforce of contact tracers. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for finding time for us on this Wednesday. How you want to see the economy reopen may depend on your politics. Arizona Republican Congressman Andy Biggs is on the White House Task Force for Reopening. He's with us now. Andy, what do you want to see in reopenings?
Well, I'd like to see us move forward with reopening, recognize America as free Americans, and let us make the choices, while at the same time recognizing we want to treat and protect the most vulnerable population. I think we can do that, and I think we should be doing it immediately.
All right, so in terms of masks, because we're seeing some pushback in certain places from the public, they don't want to wear masks in stores, things along those lines. Where do you stand on that?
Well, the masks basically are designed to protect you if you are the one who's sick. So that's the first order of business. But the second is the private property right comes into play. And so if you own a retail shop and you want to go into the furniture store and they say, look, we want people to wear masks, that's up for that furniture store and it's up to that patron. They say, well, I don't want to wear a mask. Well, then you can't come into my furniture store. I think that's appropriate and that's wise.
How about next potential phase of government aid here? Are you in favor of some sort of help for state and local governments, or is this something they need to figure out on their own?
I think that they should try to figure it out on their own. What I'm looking at here is the way this is shaped up, just so you know, is every state off the top gets $2 billion, and then it'll be divvied out by the feds. How they see fit on the balance. So you can see that there's going to be a lot of abuse that goes on there. And I think anytime that we're already looking at $4 trillion structural deficit this year, we probably ought to not spend another dime.
What are things like in your district there in Arizona?
People are energetic, antsy to get out and get going. They're starting to get going. The restaurants just opened up yesterday in my district, People are ready to go. I mean, they want to get out. They want to socialize. It's not just economy either, Gordon. We start talking about this. It is society that wants to open up.
I worry about some of these restaurants with the capacity limits. Don't you? I mean, I've never run one, but I just think if a restaurant has to operate at 25% or 50%, is that enough revenue to stay open?
It's going to be hard for some of them. I went to a restaurant Friday, Saturday night. Can't remember which night, but I went in and we were talking. I said, "Well, show me what your setup's going to be," and he said, "I think I can be able to do it here, and it should be very, very helpful." I think people want to get out though.
So at this point, then, do you think it's up to individual businesses around the country to just say, "We're going to open, and here's how we're going to do it"? You can patronize our business if you choose to or not?
I think that's the way it should be. I don't think that's the way it's going to be. I mean, Oregon basically is in total lockdown, going to stay there for some time, and other places want to open up really slowly, and Dr. Fauci is saying, you know, you need to open up slower. But I think Georgia is moving forward, and I think their numbers are going to bear out that Americans can be responsible, and you can make the choice. If I feel uncomfortable, Gordon, I'm not going to go into someplace.
Yeah. Lessons learned from this time that are going to be applicable next time, because you know there will be one. How do we prepare?
You get your stockpile of medical equipment in line. You do your best to get your supply chain back in the U.S. by providing good incentives on taxes and regulatory reform. You take a look. I mean, Gordon, we see that FDA has definitely been overreaching for years because they loosen up the regs and all of a sudden all these innovations come in. But I think the thing that we're going to have to remember is we are best served when we remember that it is freedom that resolves these issues, not centralized socialist-style government.
Thanks, Andy. Congressman Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has unveiled a more than $3 trillion aid package that would provide nearly $1 trillion for state, cities, and tribal governments to avert layoffs and another $200 billion in hazard pay for essential workers. It would offer $1,200 in direct cash aid to individuals.
The HEROES Act focuses on three pillars: opening our economy safely and soon, honoring our heroes, and then putting much-needed money into the pockets of the American people.
It would also extend unemployment benefits, and there would be $75 billion more for virus testing.
Number two.
Advice from the nation's top disease control experts on how to safely reopen businesses and institutions in the midst of the pandemic included detailed instructive guidance and some more restrictive measures than the plan released by the White House last month. The guidance, which was shelved by Trump administration officials, also offered recommendations to help communities decide when to shut facilities down again during future flare-ups.
Number three.
California's state university system, the largest in the country, has canceled classes for the fall semester, while Los Angeles County said its stay-at-home order is likely to be extended by 3 months. The announcements came after the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, told Congress that lifting the sweeping lockdowns could touch off new outbreaks of the illness, which has killed nearly 81,000 Americans. President Trump's lawyers asked the Supreme Court to quash congressional and criminal subpoenas seeking financial records from his bankers and accountants. An exchange yesterday between Justice Elena Kagan and Trump attorney Patrick Strawbridge.
As with Justice Breyer, I guess I would like to hear your views on why that wouldn't suggest that there is a lower standard here, not a higher one.
Well, because I guess because the fact that they seek personal documents doesn't mean that they're not targeting the president.
Decisions in three cases are expected by summer. Following a Board of Governors call with Commissioner Adam Silver, ESPN says the NBA is increasingly positive about the league's momentum toward resuming the season. Owners and executives were encouraged about the league's steps toward returning safely and about positive conversations with the Players Association. Silver emphasized that in order for a return to occur, all parties would need to accept that a single positive test for COVID-19 would not derail the season.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Jen. It is 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. The coronavirus pandemic has delivered a gut punch to the economy, and the mortgage market is especially exposed. The virus has forced millions of homeowners to suddenly stop making payments. At the same time, many mortgage companies aren't built to handle an economic collapse or help their customers through it. Here's how from Ben Eisen, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Ben, what's up here?
Well, you have a lot going on at the mortgage market right now. You have a lot of people, millions of people, requesting to stop paying on their mortgages, and it's really sort of exposing a lot of the weaknesses that really were never fixed after the 2008 financial crisis. You know, one of the sort of defining aspects of the post-financial crisis period was that regulators, the industry, consumer groups really focused on making better mortgages. You had a lot of mortgages go bad, and people focused on making more conservative mortgages. So today you have way better quality mortgages than you had before the last financial crisis. But what they didn't focus on was fixing the infrastructure of the mortgage market. So you have sort of these companies that are not particularly well equipped to handle all of the forbearances, all of the people missing their mortgage payments, and you really have a problem of sort of the plumbing of the financial system that is now weak.
This involves, I think, the phrase non-banks, right? These mortgage servicers?
Yeah, you have something like 59% of mortgages these days are originated by non-banks, and roughly half are serviced by non-banks. And these are companies that, unlike banks, which take deposits and have other lines of businesses, these are companies that really focus on mortgages, making mortgages, servicing mortgages, and they're not as well capitalized. They don't have as much cash for to handle things when things go wrong. So they have really grown over the last decade or so, and now they're really being tested.
We're speaking with Ben Eisen, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "The Mortgage Market Never Got Fixed After 2008. Now it's breaking again." Okay, so this wobbly infrastructure What does that mean at this point, that the people can't get help or these mortgage servicers won't give help? What's happening?
What it means is consumers are really dealing with companies that are not in the best position to help. So what we've heard from a lot of consumers is that when they call their non-bank servicer, because they need to pause payments and make them up at a later time, they're getting options that aren't really very well suited for their situation. They might be offered to pause mortgage payments for 3 months and then be told they have to make everything up on the fourth month, which is not a situation that most people can deal with, right? If you can't make mortgage payments for 3 months, there's very little chance that you're going to have all the money to repay it on the fourth month. Now, I should say that mortgage companies and their regulators say that these lump sum payments should not be happening and no one should have to make these payments. But that said, that's what a lot of people are hearing right now.
Will there be some sort of attempted fix for these mortgage services or non-banks coming out of this problem?
Well, I think one of the things to look carefully at is sort of the particular problem of servicing that's happening right now. So to really get into the nitty-gritty of what's going on, when a borrower stops making payments, the investor that owns the loan still expects to be paid.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Eisen, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Being stuck at home these days, you probably don't think much about internet privacy on your own home network. Just fire up incognito mode on your browser and no one can see what you're doing, right? Wrong. Even in incognito mode, your online activity can still be traced. Even if you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. That's why, even when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. With ExpressVPN, your internet connection is anonymized and can't be traced. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data with best-in-class encryption, so your info is always protected. ExpressVPN has you covered on every device, too. Simply tap one button and you're protected. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and countless more. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust. Visit my special link at expressvpn.com/Gordon, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon. expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more.
The top stories and expert interviews that make sense of what you care about. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday, May 13. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. House Democrats roll out a proposal for more pandemic relief money. The California State University system will offer only online instruction in the fall. The coronavirus saliva test developed by Rutgers could be available as soon as today. Uber reportedly wants to acquire Grubhub. First tropical storm of the season could develop near Florida this weekend, weeks ahead of schedule. Expect to wear a mask if visiting Disney when it reopens. And the therapy dog, who's a hit with frontline workers. That story in about 20 minutes. Business leaders are racing to deploy new employee health tracking technologies in an effort to reopen the economy and make it safer for tens of millions of Americans to return to their jobs in places like factories, offices, and stores. Some employers are requiring workers to fill out virus screening questionnaires. Some even hope to soon issue digital immunity badges to employees who have developed coronavirus antibodies, marking them as safe to return to work. It's a story by Natasha Singer, reporter at the New York Times. Natasha set this up.
Well, we're seeing employers all across the United States rush to adopt all kinds of new employee health tracking technologies. And that makes sense. We all want the workplace to be safer. And they're trying all kinds of things like asking employees every day to fill out these virus symptom checking apps or taking their temperature with these infrared scanners when they get to work or wearing these location tracking bracelets that will vibrate if you get too close to your fellow employee so that it'll be kind of like a social distancing enforcing device. And all of these things are well-meaning, but there's very little evidence to suggest they're actually going to make workplaces safer.
Boy, what is this? It's like a psychological positive environment they're trying to make here?
Well, I've heard it called do-something-itis, right? Okay. We have anxiety. We want to make the workplace better. What tools can we use? And, you know, so some of the things, these temperature scanners,
you know, some of them are just wildly inaccurate. So you're going to just peg some people as being fine when they're not, and you're going to peg others as having a fever when they're not. So there's first the accuracy problem, but the other problem with things like symptom checkers and temperature scanners is the way the coronavirus works, maybe a quarter of the people who have the virus have no symptoms at all. So these symptom fever checking things are not going to catch perhaps a quarter of the people, a quarter of your employees. And so it raises the question, if these things aren't accurate and they're not effective, like, what's the point?
I was just going to say, so are they then a waste of time and money?
Well, so I think there's several things going on. First of all, you know, the White House has issued these guidelines for reopening the economy, and they ask employers to monitor their workforce for people who have symptoms. And the White House is also asking employers to prohibit employees who are exhibiting symptoms for returning to the workplace. And so, you know, they're following this national suggestions. And also, like, if somebody is running a really high fever and is sweating and may have the flu or the coronavirus, maybe a good idea for them not to come to work. So, you know, you are going to catch a small percentage of the people who have symptoms and, in fact, may have symptoms of coronavirus. It's not going to do nothing. But the question is whether it's going to do enough that the cost of, like, the surveillance of employees and collecting all this private health data that employers have never collected before, and the risk of the security, you know, hacking problems with the data or privacy violations or having the health information used against you later. The question is whether the small benefit of this is going to be worth the cost.
We're speaking with Natasha Singer, technology reporter at the New York Times. Her piece is called "Employers Rush to Adopt Virus Screening. The Tools May Not Help Much." All right, so I know you talked to a handful of companies. For example, PwC, what are they trying?
They have a solution that is a contact tracing app, and they're just rolling it out. And basically, a company will ask all their employers to download this app, and the app will work using your Bluetooth sensors and your location, your GPS, and basically it will track employees as they move around the office, and it will track who comes into contact with whom. And so then, if somebody in your workplace gets sick, you'll be able to look at this data and see which other phones they came in contact with, and it will make it easier for employers to contact and notify people who may have been exposed to the virus in the workplace.
Boy. Also, Clear, the company we're familiar with at airports. What are they doing?
Yes, Clear has a fascinating opportunity here to expand their business and kind of pivot or add, in addition to screening at airports, they're going to screen at workplaces. And so you will come in and there will be some kind of system, you know, whether it looks like an airport scanner or not. And the way Clear has described it, it will take your temperature. It will use facial recognition to recognize the employee by name, so you won't have to hold up your ID card or touch it against it. So it's like touchless identification of an employee, this fever screening, but also eventually, if there's a vaccine for coronavirus, Clear envisions that, you know, they'll be able to ping your doctor and see that you've had the vaccine and tell your employer that you're good to go.
Thanks, Natasha. Natasha Singer, reporter at the New York Times. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now you can keep your face looking smooth too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/gordon to start shaving better today. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, with many people around the country still confined mostly to their homes, the daily walk around the neighborhood for exercise and maybe to escape our families has long since become boring. To help make things more interesting, Rico Gagliano, writing for the Wall Street Journal, has come up with a social distancing scavenger hunt, helpful for those of us in more densely populated areas. The first item, the pile of Amazon boxes left out on the front steps while the owner waits for any coronavirus on the cardboard to die. Next up, the hipster and the hipster face mask, spangled with mid-century patterns, Hello Kitty characters, and or the Ramones logo. You can also score points for seeing a passenger jet in flight, now as rare as bald eagles. Also, keep your eyes peeled for more than three cars at a stoplight, something which passes for a rush hour these days. The wordless exchange with a neighbor you've never interacted with before, and the encouraging messages posted in a neighbor's window.
Yeah, that's definitely a city thing.
Yeah.
Not a suburban or rural thing.
Well, even the suburbs. I mean, I have to say, walking around my town for sure. I mean, I've noticed just about all of these things almost on a daily basis.
You've seen hipsters with Hello Kitty characters on their face masks.
Maybe not the Hello Kitty characters, but definitely people trying to dress up their face masks for sure. Not everybody just going for the plain prints or whatever.
How about the airplanes though? That is definitely noticeable.
Yes.
I heard one, I guess, the other day and looked up and saw it, and I thought, wow, that actually caught my attention when normally it would not.
I mean, we have, in New Jersey, we have, four major airports and a bunch of small airports with planes constantly flying overhead.
It is.
So that is a strange thing for sure.
Astonishing.
And it's safe to say, Gordon, that the late Steve Jobs never envisioned smartphones to be used quite like this. A Boston police officer is being hailed for his quick wit when he used a mating call on his cell phone to lure a peacock that escaped from a zoo into custody. Boston police say officers on patrol Monday in the area of Franklin Park Zoo received a tip from a concerned citizen that an animal had escaped the zoo. Officers arrived at the scene and were met with a, quote, extremely large, slightly intimidating, and quite beautiful male peacock. An officer quickly tracked down a peacock mating call on his cell phone, successfully luring the six-year-old bird named Snowbank into a fenced yard where they awaited for the arrival of the Boston Animal Control. Zoo officials say it's possible that Snowbank ventured out looking for love, as it's currently mating season for the birds.
Wow. All right, so weird thing about peacocks.
Uh-huh.
We took the dogs for a walk at a nearby county park several weeks ago, before they were closed.
Right.
And it has kind of one of those petting zoos in there with some deer, there are goats, chickens, and one of the animals is a peacock.
Right.
And it was on the outside of the fence.
Yes.
Like near the parking lot.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't belong. And as my eager chocolate lab wanted to go greet it and lick it and say hello, it leaped vertically straight up into the air, back on top of the fence, and then back into its pen. I've never seen that before. The vertical leap of a peacock.
I've never seen them move that quick before, but probably a little disconcerting, I would think, if you were to see that.
Defense mechanism or whatever it was. Yeah. I did not realize those things could. And how tall is a fence? Must be 8, 9 feet high, I guess?
Yeah.
Don't, in a single leap.
Do not mess with a peacock.
Right over the fence. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Concerned about your finances as government restrictions take a bite out of your family budget? MarketWatch has a handful of places to get free professional financial advice now. One, the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors has on its site a growing list of more than 50 no-commission financial planners offering pro bono services. Number two, the Association for Financial Counseling and Planning Education is partnering with others, offering free virtual counseling and coaching sessions to people who've experienced a negative change in income and or budget due to the coronavirus outbreak. Number three, the XY Planning Network, an organization of fee-only financial advisors, has more than 90 members available to help people with free emergency financial planning virtual consultations. And four, free credit counseling agencies can also assist with problems ranging from bankruptcy to student loan debt. A good place to start is the National Foundation for Credit Counseling website. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Europe's reopening is gathering pace while the U.S.'s top infectious disease official warned of uncontrollable new outbreaks if the process happens too quickly. Austria announced its border with Germany would be unlocked and Britons are allowed unlimited outdoor exercise. But government expert Anthony Fauci issued a stark warning to Congress about the dangers of resuming normal life too soon, saying a run of 14 days with falling cases is a vital first step.
If you think that we have it completely under control, we don't.
Number two.
Democrats in the House have unveiled a $3 trillion plus relief package with funding for states, businesses, food support, and families. The new legislation includes nearly $1 trillion in long-sought assistance for state and local governments. It includes $75 billion for virus testing and direct payments of up to $6,000 per household. But Senate Republicans, including Majority Speaker Mitch McConnell, say the House measure is dead on arrival.
But we can't spend enough money to prop this economy up forever. People need to be able to begin to be productive again.
Number three.
As parts of New York State and the Pittsburgh area prepare to allow some businesses to reopen on Friday, Broadway theaters say they will remain closed through at least Labor Day weekend. The move by the Broadway League underscores how difficult it could be for some industries, especially in entertainment, to recover. The first serious warning of how major college sports might be impacted this fall by the pandemic was sounded when California State University System Chancellor Timothy White announced that his schools will operate primarily with online instruction for the semester. The system's 23 schools include Fresno State, San Diego State, and San Jose State, all of which are members of the Mountain West Conference. Well, if you thought flyers were angry about stuff like lost baggage, hidden fees, and delays, that's nothing compared with what's going on now. The Transportation Department says it received more than 25,000 complaints in March and April, compared with a typical 1,500 complaints a month. Many of the complaints are from people angry that airlines had denied them ticket refunds. It's a flashpoint, of course, since the industry has received more than $50 billion in bailout funds as part of the $2 trillion relief package known as the CARES Act.
Man. As Scott McCartney of the Wall Street Journal says, the airlines are the only industry that punishes its customers.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's ridiculous. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us. With all the stress from the coronavirus outbreak, a therapy dog in Tennessee is providing much-needed care to frontline workers. A rescue named Molly, who's with the group Canines for Christ, has made nearly 5,000 visits over the last 7 years. Yesterday, she helped deliver cookies to police officers in Nashville. Fox News says Molly and her owner, Chaplain Ron Leonard, have been delivering free Buffalo Wild Wings and pizza since the shutdowns began. They recently went to TriStar Summit Medical Center in Hermitage to feed and honor the doctors and nurses there. When Mr. Leonard shows up with Molly, he says a lot of healthcare workers and police officers like to pet her to get the stress off. He and his wife Marilyn adopted Molly when she was just 6 weeks old after the pup was left to die in freezing weather alongside her mom. Go Molly. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.